what the proposal of the Department of Homeland Security was to do is to take the previous methods that were used under the Federal Information Security Management Act, and instead of checking once in every 3 years, our objective would be to go through a similar battery of tests every 1 to 3 days. And the results have been extraordinary. We're practiced around the government that the benefits can come to as much as a factor of 10 reduction of measured risk in as little as 12 months, as occurred at the Department of State. So we hope to extend those basic protections for vulnerabilities, configuration setting related problems, and issues of hardware and software asset management across .gov just as soon as practical. The most efficient way to do this is to organize the spending of the departments and agencies in a way that their tools meet the standards which are most effective. And the second thing we do from a business point of view is to accumulate quantities for discounts which come in the larger numbers which are possible when you're supporting 2.2 million people in the civilian side of government. What is good for civilian government also could be even better if we would add in the 50 state governments and local governments to the extent that they're making similar investments. And the contract that we've just announced is also available to the Department of Defense. So DHS is paying for the network-related protection. The protection of software is going to come over time. The custom software and the cloud will come from expenditures by the departments and agencies. And that explains why the ceiling needs to be as high as it is.
DHS will use that initial funding, the $185 million, to implement continuous monitoring at the network level. Do I have that correct? And then that's where the MOUs or MOAs come in between DHS and the agencies.
The way that the government has structured its information systems is that we share networks with multiple custom applications. We track more than 6,000 applications which are categorized as a moderate level of risk and more than 1,200 applications that are categorized at a high level of risk. Because they all share common networks across both military and civilian government, it was the judgment of DHS that protecting the networks first would be an important foundation, and then we will overlay additional software security protections and database protections and website protections on top and feed to the same dashboards that will be funded in the initial increment under the Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program.
Can you talk just a little bit more about the funding issue? First of all, is the $185 million, is that enough to get the 24 CFOX agencies up to date or up to in running with the CDM tools, and what happens the following years? And I guess related to that is, how do you choose who to go first?
So you mentioned the number 24, which includes the Department of Defense, and so the first thing we have to say on scope is, and they will not be, in fact, covered under the investments that the Department of Homeland Security is making. We found that the initial increment of money will be a generous amount to get started, and why we worked so hard to increase competition with the large number of companies that we want to have that money through the power of competition and quantity discounts to stretch just as far as possible. Now, our first responsibility is to deal with the cabinet departments and agencies that are under FISMA, but as it turns out, there are quite a number of other .gov organizations, and so we will walk through in sequence. It will be a combination in the end of evaluating what level of protection and what level of risk they have, and with careful consultation with the departments and agencies, the CIO Council, OMB, and the National Security Staff, we'll arrive at a sequence that will deliver the best use of the money. But our goal is to get a standard measure of protection across government within 3 years. We believe that notwithstanding a three-phase program, there may be a little bit of cleanup in the following fiscal year for the previous phase, you know, dealing with special situations like GSA and our number of other small and micro agencies that have asked to wait till 2014. As we stand back 3 years from now, Hopefully we will have a good measure of standard protection across the board.
And the contract is for both tools, hardware, and then also continuous monitoring as a service. There's not two separate BPAs. There's one covering an assortment of technologies.
There are multiple factors in play. We need proper tools that can automate security testing, but we also need specialized experts in order to make those tools effectively operate and to also interpret the results. The portion that DHS will fund will be on the operating of the diagnostic mechanisms, the actual repair of the security problems that are found, cyber flaws that are in need of attention. That will come out of the budgets of the departments and agencies. So we have a split of responsibilities, but on either side, whether it be running the dashboards or in labor, which is needed to interpret those results to make the repairs, services will be needed. And we're very pleased at the strong industry response in organizing teams of experts that can bid for the work of the departments and agencies.
Can you talk a little bit about the implementation of the continuous monitoring tools and dashboards? Do we have any idea of how long it's going to take in terms of each agency is different? I realize that each agency network maybe has some complexities that you can't necessarily know everything about. But do you have a sense of when do you expect to get dashboards implemented? And then from there, what happens?
Well, we have a program which is divided into three phases. In this first phase, where we concentrate on hardware asset management, software asset management, and whitelisting, vulnerability management, and compliance setting management, we anticipate from the point that the sensors are procured and probably beginning 6 months after the dashboard contract is up and running and first available to the departments and agencies, we believe that we'll be seeing the initial results. At least that is the experience that USAID, beginning in 2003, the Department of State in 2008, and the Veterans Administration and Justice Department experienced. The uncertainties are when that dashboard contract will be fully finalized, and that's an activity which is in progress.
You said there's three phases. Is the first phase the award, the second phase is the dashboard, and the third phase is the results from the dashboard, or is that all one phase?
I was referring to the phases of sensors that would be installed over the next 3 years. We're putting hardware and those software asset management, vulnerability and configuration settings in the first year. In the second year, we're dealing with privileges and accounts and several other of the soft side of the security problem of who uses the systems and when and with what roles. And in the third phase of the program, we'll be dealing with events and responding to incidents. This is mapped out in a document which has been approved by the CIO Council, and because that will project the commercial activity that will be occurring during 2014 and 2015, without too much delay here. At this point, that 22 of 23 of the Civilian CFO Act reporting departments and agencies have signed memorandums of agreement. And there are an additional 30 agencies on top of that for a total of 50 at this point. What's important to recognize is that the 21 largest departments and agencies in the civilian government represents more than 90% of all of the people. We have a very substantial portion of the entire government covered now and ready to begin receiving the benefits of the task order competitions, which are planned here shortly.
Can you talk a little bit about, this is not mandatory, or is it mandatory from OMB's perspective? Because just because you have a MOU signed, that doesn't always lead to the end result of a implementation of a dashboard and tools.
In the development of the program, all eyes were on the costs of implementing the Federal Information Security Management Act. And what the research of DHS indicated is that what we were spending once in every 3 years for certification and accreditation and reauthorization studies, we could accomplish that many of the same tests to the degree as high as 80 or more percent could be accomplished with the methods of automation at a lower cost. So I think the first thing to say is that the Office of Management and Budget is very anxiously interested in having the departments and agencies use the most efficient method of testing. I think that the goal long run is through a method which is called ongoing authorization, is to eventually have as many of the tests as possible automated and post those results into a CyberScope so that the progress of the government in reporting annually to Congress and what the status of cybersecurity protection is in the government is both cost-effective and risk-based, as the phrase was in OMB 1028 that granted DHS that authority. So, and although some of the details are yet to be worked out, I think the goal long run is to execute as much of our regulatory and statutory responsibilities related to security using the tools that have been obtained under the Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program. The discussion of how that will be done is being worked out with the Information Security Identity Management Committee of the CIO Council, which is co-chaired by Luke McCormick and Rob Carey, so that we can get a government-wide perspective, which would include the Committee on National Security Systems. And I'm very pleased to report that the initial thinking of that group has reached a consensus and a document that will be published here not too far into the future called the Information Security Continuous Monitoring Concept of Operations.
So there are short-term goals and long-term goals. You mentioned a couple times that they can improve their security by a factor of 10 as much as a factor of 20. Mm-hmm. Can you define that? When you mean a factor of 10, you mean 10 times better, 20 times better? And then how do you define what is better?
Here what we've found is that the National Institute of Standards method, grading vulnerabilities between 0 and 10, with the 10 being most severe, provides a quantitative method of tracking progress and reducing risk. So what we do in the case of vulnerabilities, which is just one type of the four cyber flaws that we're looking at in the first phase of the CDM program, we let the product loose onto the network to begin its diagnostic paces. We count the number of vulnerabilities on each personal computer, each server, and eventually the communications infrastructure, and we assign a number each time we find the vulnerability, as the National Institute of Standards would record it. Then we sum those numbers for each of the locations and for the enterprises and departments and agencies. And then we check again 1 to 3 days later. And what we find through the magic of computer science is that when we fix something, that numeric number associated to the risk disappears, and we can track that decline in measured risk over time on personal computers, servers, routers, and so forth. And that is the so-called method of risk scoring that we want to apply and to measure the progress for the departments and agencies. All of this is made possible. This method of calculating risk is embedded in the dashboard. What's all important that we have the mathematical capabilities to both count these risks, to weight them properly as we get into advanced subjects, and to give readable reports to the departments and agencies to guide which problems they fix and what their progress has been in the previous 24 hours. We also know from our grade school history that if we can count up the numbers, we can apply on a curve or otherwise what grade might be warranted for the progress in the previous 24 hours, and we find that translating the numbers into a letter grade is extremely helpful for organizing the attentions of both the technical people and the management people in the departments and agencies. So the actual practices of how we measure risk are going to be worked out over time, but what will be important is not grading our security in terms of pass-fail, but looking at our precise results and various mechanisms of coding, success, and additional progress needed, there will be things that will be worked out with the CIO Council.
One of the things about CDM, I think that there's a lot of expectations, a lot of people putting this is the next great thing. But what is beyond CDM? What's the longer view around once you get the dashboards in place and once people, you know, get the sensors in place, there's got to be okay, now what comes next? Does DHS have that long-term vision of where they'd like to go in 3, 5, 7 years?
Well, there's a phrase among chief information security officers on what the wrong thing to do is, and that phrase is called accredit and then forget it. There was an earlier time where we lost our way, that at the point that we had finished our certification and accreditation study, our reauthorization, that we were good for another 3 years. And what we've understood, especially at DHS, where we watch the threats coming into NCIC and the other intrusion prevention mechanisms that DHS is looking at, those threats are increasing, and they're increasing in severity. So really the future look of the CDM program is to try to reinterpret our security as a responsibility that we look at on an ongoing basis, and one that would ultimately harness and optimize all of the sources of information that the government has at its disposal for cybersecurity. One mistake that we would not want to make in this conversation is to believe that continuous diagnostics and mitigation is a silver bullet. In fact, we'll, on an ongoing basis, want to use the measurement of incidents through the NCIC and US CERT, and we want to take all of the benefits of the intrusion prevention program that is being developed through DHS with one of my colleague organizations. So I think attending to security on an ongoing basis is really the look of the future, and trying to integrate the data sources that we have to best advantage. Those would be two themes I would highlight.